doing the whole 6010. Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy Focus. Hello and welcome into Fantasy Focus Football. It is Tuesday, September 20th. I am Daniel, joined by Stefania and Field. Today's show is presented by Geico. Switch to Geico, see all the ways that you could save. We are on to week three.
Yes.
We had a doubleheader on Monday night. While two football games on Monday night is always super fun because we love as much football, my body appreciates one Monday night football game.
Yeah. I guess it would depend, though, right? Because I had a couple of games last night that saved my bacon, right? Like, they had a couple of things that needed to break in my favor last night to win some matchups. And just because I had four teams in play, it gave me a bit more confidence going into the evening. The miracle felt a little bit less miraculous. And then there was one where I just need, like, and I'm not going to do that thing, yeah, go crazy. But I needed a very reasonable thing to happen. It did not happen. And I'm just a little bit salty, like a dash of salt is emanating from my pores
totally
right now.
Totally salty. I had three players going last night in one league and still lost.
I don't, wow.
Yeah. Not everybody benefited from Monday Night Miracle.
Everybody. In case you did benefit from Monday Night Miracle, head on over to our YouTube chat. Our buddy Kyle Soppy is hanging out there all show long, as he always does. What's up, Kyle?
What's going on? We got a lively chat already. We're just starting. These guys are here 15, 20 minutes early. They beat me to the chat. I love it.
That tells you something.
Wow.
Yeah. People are earlier than Kyle.
Yeah.
Kyle, like Tom Coughlin, aspires to be Kyle.
Not wrong. All right. We got a lot to cover today. A huge show. We've got a Sunday night and Monday night recap. We're going to take a quick look back at some disappointing players that we drafted early in the first round. Plus, it's Tuesdays. That means we've got Waiver Wire with Eric Moody.
Let's go first. You got it, Daniel.
Rewind.
Nice.
Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
I still got it. Producer touch.
No big deal. Let's start with the Bears and the Packers really quickly. This obviously was a Sunday night football game. If you listened to the audio exclusive version of this on Monday, you heard Liz and I talk about this. David Montgomery feels like the startable asset from the Chicago Bears right now. 122 rushing yards, 2 catches, 14 receiving yards, 15.6 fantasy points. Field, a lot of people drafted. Darnell Mooney.
Yeah.
Probably as their wide receiver 4, that first guy off the bench when they need someone to be able to be put in there.
Yep.
And we're at a spot now with both him and Cole Kmet. They are terrible.
Yeah. They've been really bad. And so let's just pick a couple pieces of context here. Is the Bears in 2 games have thrown the ball 28 times.
That's
two
awful.
Games. I saw this stat from my friend Michael Davis Bitt this morning that Justin Fields is actually 33rd in passing attempts. There's a backup quarterback who has thrown the ball more than Justin Fields has so far this year. So this is a team that's going to try to ground and pound on offense. Obviously, they have a limited group of skill players. That's going to be a problem. Now, the issue, the counterpoint is that, hey, that was sort of the case last year, and they just force-fed Darnell Mooney. So, Kyle, we can hear you, by the way. But they did, week one was a monsoon, right? So you would have said to yourself, like, hey, we'll see how things change on Sunday night. And they did not change dramatically on Sunday night. So I'll start with this. Darnell Mooney's a hold for me. Such a talented kid. He's going to get better. Him and Justin Fields worked all offseason together. They've got a legit rapport. He's a hold. You got to keep him on your bench for right now. He needs to earn his way back into your lineup. And we need to see this Bears offense throw the football more to him. It's not Darnell Mooney's fault. Cole Kmet is a drop if you need to, because you may not have a choice here. It's hard to roster two tight ends. Yeah. And through 2 games, Cole Kmet has 1 target and has run 22 routes. This guy was so sturdy last year. He did not have a touchdown, but he had at least 5 targets in 11 of 12 games. If you told me through 2 weeks that Cole Kmet had not found the end zone again, but had caught somewhere between 8 and 10 passes, I would have said, that's my expectation.
Yeah.
He's barely running. He's not even running 10 routes a game. So he's a drop right now. Obviously, finding tight ends on the waiver wire is not easy to do, especially with some notable injuries like George Kittle and Dalton Schultz. But he's a drop for right now, assuming there is a better option on your waiver wire.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Packers really quickly, because those running backs... Excuse me.
Yeah.
Okay. Where it is at. Yeah, why don't you take it? I'm going to get water real fast.
You clear your throat here, Daniel. All right. So the Packers on Sunday night got back on track a little bit here.
Aaron Rodgers looked like Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, ish.
Mostly.
Yes. Yeah, I would say from a real football perspective.
Yeah. That's what I mean.
I'm still a touch concerned about Aaron Rodgers from a fantasy-wise, perspective.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because still there is not a go-to wide receiver. Alan Lazard was the best wide receiver on Sunday night.
I thought that was a good... Oh, look, he had the ankle injury. This was his first game back. first time playing full four quarters. Yeah. So I thought that was a good start for him. Better days ahead for Allen Lazard.
Yeah, I would agree. But just but stating the obvious, but it was a thing we talked about all offseason, is that like they're just not nearly as prolific as a passing team when they don't have Devontae Adams. Like, clearly that's stating the obvious, but it's worth reiterating right now, and it's why Aaron Rodgers has not been great so far through two games in fantasy. And we'll talk about this more throughout the week, but he's not close to my top 10 for quarterbacks in week three because he plays against the Bucs.
You and I were on the same page on this coming into the season.
So better, more efficient performance from Aaron Rodgers, not to be unexpected. He is Aaron Rodgers after all, but it's going to be a tough sled to have him inside your top 10 this week because they play the Bucs. But the backs were the really encouraging part here, right?
They said they were going to get more touches for the back. They did.
They did. And certainly Aaron Jones was the most specific beneficiary of that, as he found the end zone twice, 132 rushing yards plus a receiving touchdown as well on three catches. Good for 32 fantasy points. And when people say like, hey, why do you keep ranking Aaron Jones a decent amount ahead of A.J. Dillon? Here's the reason why, is that A.J. Dillon's a good player, no doubt. Like, he's got a bright future. He's already got a bright present. But Aaron Jones has a chance to be like a special back in a given week and really good in the passing game. And as a runner, he's sweet. Like, he doesn't need 20 carries to get to 100 yards. The great upside there, it's not going to be like this every single week, but there is a, this, I think Sunday night sort of validated why we continue to rank Aaron Jones as a fringe RB1 and some 10, 12, or 15 spots ahead of A.J. Dillon.
I feel like if you saw some of the exchanges, just the glances with Aaron Rodgers to the sideline with LaFleur, I think he was really happy with the way that game was called. Yep. And that, to me, signals that there's going to be a lot of more ground game going forward, just like there was this week.
But not to be lost on that is that A.J. Dillon still got a role. It's a real role.
Yeah, he had a 18 lot of rushes still. Yeah.
And he played just one fewer snap than Aaron Jones. I just wanted to illustrate why people, because there was some pushback. Why Aaron Jones ahead of A.J. Dillon? Like, didn't Dillon play much better in week one? Sunday illustrated the player that we have seen more frequently from Aaron Jones than A.J. Dillon.
Did you talk about how Aaron Rodgers isn't going to be a top 10 quarterback for you this week?
Yeah, we did.
Yes, we got through that.
I'm
going to
get through that.
And, yeah, so the wide receivers, though, still, by the way, is that, like, just to put a pin on this one, is that amongst the non-running backs in Aaron Rodgers, like, all pass catchers, tight ends, wide receivers, none of them are must-starts right now. Lazard probably the closest, like, a fringe flex play in a 12-team league, but just a fringe, because even his volume in week two was not great, and for the last time,
and
until
depends on
talking
the
about it again
too.
Later. Yeah, like, I was going to say, you're playing the Bucs. Like, this is a fade for me this week, unless they dramatically surprise me, and I don't see that this week.
Let's move ahead to Titans-Bills and talk about the Titans real quickly, because I think we can be pretty quick here, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned, though, about one thing.
I'm concerned about a couple things. Yeah,
no,
only one
thing. One thing. All right, one thing in specific, right? So there's only one player in the Titans that we've really been considering a must-start, right? And
he had nowhere to run.
He had nowhere to run last night. And what the secret sauce for Derrick Henry, beyond the fact that he's an alien, is that this team was going to run the football at an extremely heavy rate, which they're still doing when they're in neutral game script situations, right? When they're playing with a lead or tied.
Has
or
that happened
behind
this year yet?
Not much recently. Over the past six quarters, they have been blown out. But last year, Derrick Henry averaged nearly 27.5 carries per game, right? Elite volume, which was afforded by the fact that A, he's Derrick Henry. B, they were better last year offensively than the show right now. And C, defensively, they were better too. And they've got so many injuries already on both sides of the ball, which piled up again last night, that makes me a little bit nervous here, because you need Derrick Henry to be volume heavy as a runner, because through two games, he has one target, zero catches, which he's never been McCaffrey.
He's not the pass catcher. But to me, I just felt like he was in traffic all the time. There was nowhere for him to run. Taylor Lewan goes out at the very beginning of the game. It's a mess up front. Yep. And basically, they knew what they could. The Bills defense is the Bills defense. Mm-hmm. I get it. But, you know, and their front seven, incredibly strong. But they knew exactly what they could do against Tennessee, and they executed it perfectly. It was The whole thing was a disaster.
Derrick Henry needs help from the rest of this team, too.
He
because
does.
He's getting meat in the backfield, I feel like, before he's even able to get to the line of scrimmage, right?
Yeah, so I guess the saving grace here, and I was looking ahead at the schedule, which is a little bit of a difficult thing to do in general, because it's still week two. We don't know exactly what everybody is, but if you look ahead to their schedule, the saving grace might be the division they play in, right? It might be that they can hang tougher against Indianapolis and the Texans and the Jaguars, right? Those games might start to lead to better rhythm for Derrick Henry and the team to sort of build this mojo back. But they play the Raiders this week. They've got the Chiefs, I think, in three games after this. So you might have a couple of games where if they're getting waxed, you're just not going to see Derrick Henry on the field as much. I've got him as RB10 for week three because I do think the Raiders, even though they have not been perfect so far, will be able to move the ball through the air against the Titans.
Yep. All right, with these pass catchers, there's nobody here that is a must start for me. The only thing I want to say is Treylon Burks had one really nice play that I picked up like a 3rd and 15, right? Yeah. He's sort of been disappointing in comparison to the rest of these first-round wide receivers. And I don't want to put that on him necessarily alone, but yeah, he's sort of the only guy that hasn't really taken a huge role with this team from the rest of these guys that were drafted here this round.
Yes and no. Chris Olave and him are the only two that haven't like really broken through in a major way, but also like John Dotson and obviously Drake London and like some of these guys and Garrett Wilson have just been so good that like I think it's more about how great they have been than either Olave or Burks being a major disappointment because
also within the context of the offense. Yeah.
All I'm saying is Derrick Henry could use some talent around him. That's all I'm saying.
They are a fascinating NFL really live discussion watch, about where this franchise is at and where they're going because they're 0-2 and this is a veteran laden roster,
right?
There are other teams that aren't quite there yet,
young.
Right? Yeah, they're not. And where do they turn to? Maybe the answer is Malik Willis. He played some last night.
He got some action.
But Mike Vrabel, I think, made it pretty clear during the preseason. Not ready for prime time,
not ready
as they
yet.
Say.
Yeah.
Well, right. He would still need the same protection that
that Ryan Tannehill
is not getting.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
On the other side of the ball, there's only so much to be able to
Stop.
Say. Let's just say this.
Play every bill.
Stephon Diggs was just awesome last night. Being able to watch him, I think it was his best game ever. Career best game. 12 catches on 14 targets, 148 yards, and 3 touchdowns. And our producer, David Presley, came in and was like, you know what? I needed just one more touchdown from Stephon Diggs last night as if it wasn't enough. Three touchdowns wasn't enough, Presley.
You know, my thought on this, though, is that as we look back at drafts, there's a chance, Stephon, that you're going to end up calling Stephon Diggs perhaps the best early round value.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say that, I mean, he went like 10th overall, right? But if Stephon Diggs ends up finishing as wide receiver 2 or wide receiver 3, and he was going as wide receiver 5 or even wide receiver 6 off the board, which, by the way, wide receiver 2 or 3 or even 1 seems conceivable in my eyes, it'll end up being a value. So when we talk about how you can't really win your league in the first round, you could often lose the league.
Yep.
There are a couple of exceptions. I don't know that Stephon Diggs is unilaterally going to win your league, but a player that if you got him at pick 11, 12, 13, you're feeling fantastic right now about having Stephon Diggs as your wide receiver 1 and probably the best player on your team.
Absolutely. Same if you have Josh Allen. I mean, if you've got him as
Incredible.
Your quarterback, yeah, you are thrilled.
He's giving the MVP now or no?
I'm good with that.
Okay.
It also didn't hurt that he had this poor rookie corner, you know, trying to cover him. I mean, it was unfair.
It was like chess
versus checkers.
When I look at these running backs, it's tough for me to be able to figure out. I'm trying not to start anybody outside of
Daniel?
The pass catchers.
They don't need to run the ball.
No.
Balance? Who cares about balance for the Bills? Devin Singletary had 19 rushing yards last night. James Cook had a better night because he had that late run that didn't, I mean, when they're waxing them 41-7 or something, but why would they bother running the football? No one can stop them in the passing game. This is like watching a college team out there right now. This is watching Alabama bully on some directional state.
But shout out to Ken Dorsey and the creativity as the offensive coordinator from...
Right?
I mean, but actually in the first two games, what he's shown is that they're willing to go anywhere. To your point about throwing the ball, they are willing to spread it around and just keep confusing the defenses with where they're going. And then Stephon Diggs will still get his.
Yes. Last thought here, because we got to move, is that Isaiah McKenzie was awesome in small doses last year. Last night was a prime opportunity for somebody to be a wide receiver 2 for the Bills.
Jake Kumerow.
Kumerow was fine, right? But I don't think that when Gabe Davis sits, if he sits again in week 3, we are telling you, okay, by default, you must be starting the next man up amongst those Bills pass catchers.
100%.
One of them could play well, but it's not a guarantee.
I was surprised that Jake Kumerow's name was called as often as it was, knowing that Jameson Crowder and Isaiah McKenzie were there to begin with. Because when Gabe Davis was out, I thought, to your point, Field, I thought it was going to be one of those other two guys. All right, let's talk about Vikings and Eagles. And boy, did the Vikings look bad. They looked out of sync. It was tough. Justin Jefferson barely able to manage double-digit fantasy points. Outside,
he should have had a touchdown. He made a mistake there.
Yeah, he should have had a touchdown. He should have. Yeah,
Troy Aikman showed us last night, if he runs in front of Darius Slay, like worst case scenario, or I should say best case scenario is a touchdown. Worst case scenario is
the play that
offensive pass interference.
Right.
Yeah,
or he doesn't get the pick. Yeah. I mean, that, and he actually acknowledged it later. So for people wondering about that, Justin Jefferson should have had a touchdown for you. It would have made his fantasy total a little bit different.
It's all that being said, though, like for a terrible night for Justin Jefferson, he still got you 10.8 fantasy points, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, I know that you probably needed bigger.
If you
drafted
him like fifth overall.
Oh, sure. You wanted more, right? But if you figure this is one of his two worst games of the year, you're like, okay. Like more often I'm getting 20, I'll take the occasional 11. I don't like it early out of the gates in week two, and especially if I needed it Monday night for a miracle. But Justin Jefferson remains fine. The running game, again, looked porous last night. Dalvin Cook's not really the fault there. I'd have to go check this, and I should have done this before the show, but it felt to me like there's been a bit more of a rotation between Dalvin Cook and Alexander Madison.
Yeah, especially in the last pathetic drive of the game when if I'd had just one more point, I might have done differently.
I was right there with you.
You know what I'm happy about?
Irv Smith. Yeah, I think if you're a cool commit manager, is he like he's the great kind of guy?
Yeah, minus the drop. Okay, he had the ugly drop, but let's not forget he did not play football at all last year, and he was coming off a thumb injury this year, so he's getting his feet wet in fantasy. I mean, fantasy in real football and in fantasy. But at least they were throwing to him. You know, eight targets. He did manage a touchdown for you. He 14.6 fantasy points, and if he doesn't drop that other one, what was it, like a 60-yard touch, 60-plus touchdown? Yeah. That would have been another 12 points for you. So I'm not saying it's going to be necessarily the same volume every time, but I think Irv Smith will be more consistent for you than Cole Kmet at this point.
I can't make an argument against that one.
Yeah, that's tough to fight against. I was disappointed, and we'll move on, but I was disappointed because for this Vikings team, they get my Detroit Lions next.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to see a stronger performance here in week two, so I had a bigger sample size because as much as I love the Lions, they've given up a lot of points. They've given up a lot of yards from a fantasy perspective. They're in a good spot. Yeah, so Dalvin Cook really struggling. Don't love that. Still, don't fall victim to this. Like, he's got a really good matchup next week. Kirk Cousins, really good matchup next week. Justin Jefferson bouncing back. So I think it's just tough week this week against the Eagles, who, by the way, with the Eagles, Jalen Hurts. Let's talk about how these quarterbacks this year are so good.
Let's talk about it. There's actually, to me, in addition to just what you're seeing in terms of his maturity as a quarterback, remember he had an ankle injury last year, and he was not running well. He was struggling with that ankle issue. A lot of people don't know he had surgery in February. They fixed what was ailing him, and you can see it in how he's moving, and I think that is part of the reason that he's functioning so much better than what you might remember from down the stretch last year.
Yep. I mean, here we go. 2 weeks into the season, he's got two top four finishes, right? Mm-hmm. Part of that elite tier. I think that we feel really good about Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, Jalen Hurts, lock him in starters every single week. So happy for Jalen Hurts, who just seems to answer the call every time someone challenges him, right? And perfect? No, not yet. But very few players face the kind of pressure that Jalen Hurts did coming into this season with the backdrop of multiple first round picks next year and the rumors about the Eagles exploring the veteran quarterback market this past off season. Jalen Hurts keeps answering the bell. Really happy for him. The Eagles have done an amazing job of helping him, and he certainly put in the work himself, and his receivers keep benefiting as a big night last night for two of them.
Yeah, and welcome back Devontae Smith. Who had a donut in week one, and I was really worried about that. I was like, what does this mean? Is it only going to be AJ Brown? It was nice to see him get back 7 catches on 7 targets for 80 yards.
Quick kudos, Nick Sirianni, Eagles head coach. By the way, I'm old enough to remember when he wasn't going to be a good head coach because he had a clumsy press conference. Wow. Remember when that was the narrative? Ridiculous. People don't get me started on my soapbox there. That being said, first play of the game last night, easy route to Devontae Smith. Yeah. What do you do when a guy has a bad game? You inject confidence back into him. How do you do that? Very first play of the game, dial it up for him.
I would say those flowers are blossoming. Fields.
Yes. Well, yes. Stefania, yes.
I think this feels like closer to what the baseline will be. Obviously, there are going to be some spike weeks for some of these guys here and there, but the way he spread the ball around from that same. By the way, how many pass attempts did you say that Justin Fields has this year? So
28.
Far? Okay, that's how many rushing attempts Jalen Hurts has so far in the year.
It's crazy.
28 rush attempts.
He is fantasy magic right now. And a solid effort from Miles Sanders. Like,
yep. Fantastic.
Solid. Like, I think the case for him as like a low-end RB2 or a strong flex was the one that I know Mike Clay presented this preseason to some dissenters. And two straight games where he's led the team in rushing attempts amongst running backs. Got involved in the passing game a little bit. Didn't quite find the end zone last night, but 11.6 fantasy points. I got to be honest with you. I think that's a formidable effort from Miles Sanders based off where he was drafted.
That's what I was just going to say. Where you got Miles Sanders, the fact that you're getting double-digit fantasy points, and this rushing game looks awesome.
Yeah.
It feels very positive. I wish Miles Sanders wouldn't have poured water on his own fantasy stock to start the season.
It's actually good for the people who picked him up.
Yeah, you got him at a discount. Yeah.
But is it when things are clicking, just the proof, right? When the passing game works, the running game opens up. It's a...
Not even a major discount. Like I think he's just like a reasonably priced, low-end RB2, strong flex play.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
It's who he is.
Reminds me of what I think the value of Clyde Edwards-Helaire is, even though I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire's points right now suggest that he is like an RB2. Like, well, he's like a top five running back. No, I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Miles Sanders are comparable in terms of value right now.
All right, so we saw Tua put up a top 10 performance of all time when it comes to what he did this week. Lamar Jackson, one of only four quarterbacks with 300 passing yards and 100 rushing yards, and Jalen Hurts. Kyle Soppy is going to throw us a trivia question because, again, like I said, these quarterbacks are unreal so far this year.
They're amazing.
So last night, Jalen Hurts, second career game with at least 290 passing yards and multiple rushing touchdowns. There's three quarterbacks that have done that more often in their careers than Jalen Hurts. I want you to name all three.
Okay. Second career game with 290 passing yards and multiple rushing touchdowns. Ugh. Three quarterbacks with most such games on their
resume. I'm terrible at trivia on a timeline.
All right, I'm going to go with one. I'm going to guess Aaron Rodgers just because he's played for so long and he's a reasonable enough rusher. I'm going to go with Russell Wilson as well because he's Russell Wilson. Yeah. And then I am going to go. Kyle always gives us a goofy third person. Carson Wentz.
Would Michael Vick have ever done that?
Did you say active or you say all time?
Kyle, did you say active?
All time.
All time.
Okay, I'm way off. Only one of them
is active.
Okay, Cam? Never mind. All right.
Active. Active's got to be Taysom Hill. Everyone knows that.
No. Stop it.
Cam Newton's a good one. Cam Newton, and I'm going to go with, as I said, Aaron Rodgers and then Randall Cunningham. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm not going to take up the podcast time. But I told you, Michael Vick would have been one of my guesses. Yeah. Maybe Cam.
I'm going to say Dante Culpepper.
Okay,
I'm gonna say Ben Roethlisberger.
Okay,
rushing touch. All he needs is two touchdowns. From the 1 yard line.
Yeah.
Oh, multiple rushing touchdowns. Yeah. Okay, I can't even play the game.
We'll go Mike Vick.
What do you got, Kyle?
Dante Culpepper is never gonna be an answer for your trivia question, Daniel. No matter how hard you try.
How dare you?
Field was on the right track with Cam and trying to go Randall Cunningham. Cam is one. Steve Young is one.
That was my other guess.
Not Cool Keith named the tricky one. Tom Brady has three such games.
Wow.
Impressive. Because quarterback sneak touchdowns. He likes those quarterback sneaks. Stupid.
Let's talk about injuries with Stefania.
Yeah, let's get into it. Stefania, you got some injuries you want to talk about here?
That's a dumb question.
I don't want to talk about them, but I will. It's a responsibility.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's start with my 49ers, right?
Okay, let's do it.
Because Trey Lance, as we know, left the game on a cart, which was just horrible to see for him. Young quarterback, just getting started. Obviously, all kinds of pressure. Gets tackled in a pile, resulted in an ankle fracture dislocation on his right leg. He ended up undergoing surgery at Stanford. They put out a statement, the 49ers did, and I will read it to you. Surgery was performed to repair two injuries to Lance's ankle, a fibula fracture. That's the long bone on the outside of the leg, and ligament disruption. Lance will start the rehab process, and head team physician Dr. Tim McAdams is confident that he will recover completely in time for a full return in the 2023 season. So, again, that means that ligament repair, fractured. They're lucky, actually, that it was just one bone that was fractured, less hardware in the ankle, which you like. Anything that makes it less likely to be stiff. That'll be the big concern, getting all the motion back for a guy whose game is predicated on mobility. But luckily for him, he's got a long time to do it. He's got people like Nick Bosa and Jimmy Garoppolo who understand season-ending injuries. Tough break for him, but obviously we wish him well. Here's the news I wasn't expecting yesterday. Tyrion Davis-Price, one of the running backs we expected to step up in the absence of Elijah Mitchell. High ankle sprain will miss at least a few weeks per Kyle Shanahan. ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a punch to the gut. Jeff Wilson Jr., obviously the starter. Yep. I would say keep an eye on Jordan Mason. Marlon Mack was signed to the practice squad for the 49ers. Who knows if they draw him in. It is just a disaster with the injuries to the running back.
Death taxes and 49ers running backs injuries. They also noted they're going to have some players in for a workout this week. But for now, I think it just underscores it again. It's going to be Jordan. It's going to be Jeff Wilson Jr. and I think Deebo Samuel. Those are the two players that are going to get carries that matter. Jordan Mason's a name to keep in mind as a deep league stash in case something happens to Jeff Wilson, but hard for me to see a fantasy relevant role right now for him.
That'd be tough. Yeah, Jerry Jeudy, Stefania, another wide receiver that we saw get banged up this week.
Yeah, it was a tough injury. He actually fell like on top of the football and then had a defender fall on him, sort of that crunch to the ribs. They're calling it a chest/sternum injury. He's considered day to day. I'm told he was in a lot of pain, as you might expect after. And we really don't know if he's going to be available to play this week yet. It will be a day by day assessment.
I don't have another Broncos wide receiver that I like to step up outside of Cortland Sutton. If I'm not able to play Jerry Jeudy, I'm just looking elsewhere from that standpoint.
I will say that KJ Hamler could play. He was held out this past week. Possibility he returns.
All right, we got a couple of Ravens. One that's been just itching to get on the field in J.K. Dobbins. Is week three, finally the week, we're going to see J.K. Dobbins, Stefania.
Listen, I'm not going to say it. Look, when you have Coach John Harbaugh saying he's still week to week, right. I mean, he's not saying like, yeah, we think he's going to come in this week. This continues to be sort of the battle between the player wanting to get back and the organization saying, I'm not sure you're really ready. And to J.K. Dobbins' credit, he did come out and say that the organization is looking out for his long-term interests, which, as the organization, they should. But again, for fantasy purposes, we've been telling you that this was going to be a tough start to the season. And then also, when he comes back, there is no guarantee that he starts out of the gate with the J.K. Dobbins role that you were hoping for. So I think it's going to be a while before we see him come back. And then Devin Duvernay in the concussion protocol.
Yep. You know what's weird about J.K. Dobbins is, earlier this regular season, and we're only in week three, John Harbaugh publicly seemed to state that J.K. was pretty close to returning. Now his tone has suggested that he might not be so close to returning, and it's almost like, is he trying to throw us off the scent and J.K. Dobbins is going to play like, you know, 95% of the snaps on Sunday? I'm kidding, obviously, but it's all the tenor has changed. He seemed to think that things were close recently, and now that week-to-week categorization, which maybe he was just sick of using the same answer over and over.
I think it's more that. I don't read too much into it. What I would go back to is when it was OTAs and he said he has a chance to start on the physically unable to perform list. Yeah. J.K. Dobbins was so angry about that. Remember, that was the big brouhaha. Yeah. And so I think, you know, it does make sense to bring a player off that list. I've talked about this so they can get integrated into practice, but it doesn't necessarily mean they're close to returning. I think that Harbaugh was looking for different ways to say, J.K. Dobbins continues to do the work, but we're not ready to involve him in the game plan yet.
All right, the Cowboys also show up on this list as if Dak wasn't enough. Now Dalton Schultz dealing with a knee injury, Stefania.
Yeah, posterior cruciate ligament sprain, which people may recall. This is what Zeke had last year and tried to play through. These are things that no matter what the severity is, and we don't know the specific severity of the injury, but they are not surgical situations. Usually an isolated PCL injury is not surgical. You wait until the swelling comes down, the strength comes back, and you want the ligament to try and scar in. Now, if you wait for that to happen, you're talking multiple weeks. So players will usually come back and try to play through a moderate ligament injury once they get their functionality back. Sure. That's, I think, what's going to happen with Dalton Schultz. So for me, I would be looking elsewhere just because we don't know what he's going to look like when he returns and we don't know when he will be back.
More to come on the waiver wire with Eric Moody in just a little bit.
Absolutely. If they're not going to have Dalton Schultz, any chance that Michael Gallup finally gets back on the field for the Cowboys?
Well, they're all saying certainly possible, I think was Stephen Jones' word. You know,
look, it's better than no.
Mike McCarthy did say they're going to gear him up in practice this week as if he's going to return, meaning they're going to implement things that make it more and more like game situation for him, but it'll probably be a call late in the week.
Here's the good news is that if you roster Michael Gallup, you did not draft him anywhere close to needing him.
Yeah.
So even if he does play on Monday night, you can pass here. You can pass and maybe he has a great game. And if he does, I wouldn't look at it like I made the wrong decision. I would look at it as a very pleasant surprise. If you don't roster Michael Gallup, go take a look because he's available in more than 50% of leagues on ESPN.
They have already said definitively that he will not have a full workload when he returns.
So I'm just, even if he had 25 snaps and scored 3 touchdowns, you can be like, okay, I didn't make the wrong call. I just got lucky.
All the more reason to be patient and wait and see exactly how much he's used in his first game back.
All right, what about James Conner left with an ankle injury? Yeah. Should managers be patient with James Conner here?
Yeah, be patient. It was late in the game. He was on the sidelines afterwards, not reported to be serious. One of those things where it was like, let's not make it worse.
All right, and then we got one more, and this isn't really an injury, Stefania, so much as it is that it hurt my fantasy team, and that Mike Evans is going to be suspended for one game after going after Marshawn Lattimore.
Yeah, I mean, he came in with a calf injury, so he was on the injury report, and he didn't seem to be too affected by that, certainly not when he came rushing back onto the field to defend his quarterback.
There. Yeah, from that standpoint. Yeah. All right, that's going to do it for our Week 3 injury update.
I'll just on the Bucs receivers. We'll keep an eye out on Julio Jones and obviously Chris Godwin. Mm-hmm.
Chris Godwin.
They're adding Cole Beasley to the practice squad.
Later in the week, we'll have more.
By the way, Tom Brady, also a fade for me this week.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that. And Aaron Rodgers, they play in the same game on Sunday.
That's right. All right, we're going to take a look back at the draft. How are some of those top picks doing, and what are you supposed to do if they're underperforming? But first,
nobody knows. Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Well, of course you would. Yeah. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help, like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV, even help with homeowners or renters coverage, plus add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you can save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
You know, hiring is challenging.
Yeah, it is.
Especially right now when you got so much on your plate. And luckily, there's only one place where you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. A place where growing businesses connect qualified candidates. And that place is ZipRecruiter.com/FFF. ZipRecruiter does the work for you. ZipRecruiter uses powerful technology to find and match the right candidates up with your job. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. It's no wonder ZipRecruiter is the number one rated hiring site based on G2 satisfaction ratings as of January 1st, 2022. And right now, to try ZipRecruiter for free, our listeners can go to ZipRecruiter.com/FFF. That's ZipRecruiter.com/FFF. ZipRecruiter.com/FFF. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. All right, who's laughing now? Let's take a look back at how our drafts went. We got a small sample size. We got more than 1 week in the books. We got a couple of weeks of games under our belts. And when we look back, we talked about running backs early. Hammer running backs early. You need that guy that's going to be the one that gets all those touches and Field Yates. If you hammered those running backs early, Jonathan Taylor, while was good in week one, has had some ups and downs.
It was great in week one. Yeah, it was great in week one, tough week two. I'm not panicking at all here on Jonathan Taylor. If anything, maybe what they did last week or maybe what the Colts have realized through two games is that they talked about being like a little bit more open and spreading things out. Maybe they need to get back to what worked last year, which was absolutely hammering the football on the ground. Also didn't help that they did not have Michael Pittman. They did not have Alec Pierce this past week. Teams are going to be able to defend them differently. Fine. You're fine with Jonathan Taylor. He'll be great the rest of the season.
What about Stefania? Christian McCaffrey, drafted at 1.02, obviously because of that injury risk. He has not been utilized in the passing game as much as they utilize him in the running game. Baker Mayfield is not throwing him the ball.
He played 50 offensive snaps this week. 15 carries, only 4 receptions. I don't know. Carolina is really hard to figure out for me just because I don't really know what they're doing.
You're starting
from the coaching.
You're not doing anything different.
I got to be honest. He's the least of my worries so far from the top running backs. I mean, he's had 2 games that have been solid, right? He's 16.8 fantasy points after 15.9 in week one. Like, I understand he set a ridiculous standard for what he can be, but look at him in the context of these rest of these guys.
Yeah.
Jonathan Taylor had a dud week. We'll talk about Austin Eckler. He's not playing that much compared to Christian McCaffrey. McCaffrey, you should feel good about. Really good about.
So I brought this up on Sunday, Field, and I think what you just said is a great point. There's just going to be an overreaction. I think this, as the voice of the fan, this is what I'm supposed to do, right?
But it does feel when you're watching the game that they're not really utilizing him optimally
he
compared to...
He doesn't look like the old CMC.
Well,
I would say he looks like the old
CMC.
He does.
They have not given him those
massive passing game opportunities, which... I think that maybe they're not going to throw it to him 10 or 12 times in a game as frequently as they did in the past. But I would just say compared to return and compared to how other running backs are performing, I still think CMC is a he's been a satisfactory option at 1.02 so far.
Right. I also think it's the quarterback. I mean, he is not looking at him in some situations. He is looking specifically at where he's going to go downfield with the ball when Christian McCaffrey is open. And this is a guy who we know can make plays after contact. So why not use him that way?
It is infuriating.
Hopefully that changes.
Watching Baker Mayfield have his eyes just locked downfield when CMC is standing here, where it's like, guys,
hello?
Come on, please. And I understand your point. Like this, it's just a resetting of the expectations. Look at him based off of the running backs around him here this year. Don't look at him based on what Christian McCaffrey has been in years past, because this year, to your point, Field, he is doing actually surprisingly well in comparison to everyone else. Austin Eckler on the field for less than 60% of offensive snaps.
Right. So again, this helps the Christian McCaffrey case, right? Is that like Austin Eckler, they had a late game push for him in week two on Thursday night where he had a handful of catches and he gets 18.4 fantasy points. If he doesn't have that, we're having more of a conversation. But you're seeing Sony Michel and Josh Kelly on the field.
Way too much Sony Michel.
We haven't seen Austin Eckler scored 20 touchdowns last year. We thought that number would come down, most certainly.
To like 6 this year.
But still, I mean, he had 39 rushing yards on 14 attempts last year, last week. So, not panicking, right?
And last week they didn't have Keenan Allen either.
Here's what's interesting, because Justin Herbert is hurt. And what he played through last week with that cracked cartilage, adrenaline drove a lot of that late push from him. It'll be interesting to see what happens, whether he misses time or even if he doesn't, he's still going to be in pain. I wonder if they will lean on Austin Eckler a little bit more.
If they're going to lean on the running game a little bit more, my guess, based off what we've seen in the first two games, is that it'll be a blend, because on the ground, they have blended guys. If they start to get him more involved in the passing game, that would be wonderful.
That's what he's not a downfield. Like, I'm talking about the big throws that might be harder for Justin Herbert to make, but setting up some of the passing situations for Austin Eckler, I think he could benefit from
that. I thought we would have seen that last week when Keenan Allen was out, and we didn't see as much of it as I would have thought. Also, if I'm Justin Herbert, this is just a me thing, I'm certainly not getting any shots if my ribs hurt.
Well, it's a different conversation.
I'm just saying. Yeah. All right, let's talk about Najee Harris. 72 rushing yards this season. 72 for the season.
Yeah. Ugly. I mean, it's one of the hardest offenses to watch right now.
It's so bad. He's getting hit early.
The offensive line can't get any movement up front for him. They've been poor again in terms of the running game. They've been okay in the passing game. But the passing game volume hasn't been perfect for Najee, but I think he had, what, 4 catches this past week?
Yeah.
He's had a reasonable, I mean, he's got back-to-back games with double-digit points, if that tickles your fancy at all, but he's going to need that passing game volume to keep up in a major way. And I'll say this now, they need to consider Kenny Pickett sooner rather than later.
Totally
it won't be this week. Mitch Trubisky, I know that they're going to be very firm in their stance, and if there's any coach who fans will not question until they absolutely must, it's going to be Mike Tomlin. Mm-hmm. But
I don't know. There
like
were a couple of sideline shots with looks of Mike Tomlin looks that made me think he might actually consider this sooner.
Maybe not this week because they play on Thursday, and he said yesterday that Mitch is still their guy.
Yep.
But it feels like they need a distributor in that offense. And I think Kenny Pickett is a superior thrower to Mitch Trubisky.
I think you're totally right. We talked about two other running backs also that have been sort of disappointing first couple of weeks. Derrick Henry has yet to hit double-digit fantasy points. And Dalvin Cook through the first 2 weeks. For week one wasn't too bad, right? But this last week was tough.
It was
tough from that standpoint. All right. When you look at the wide receivers, though, early wide receiver rock stars. Holy cow. If you drafted those running backs, you know what you're doing? You're looking at Cooper Kupp.
By the way, he's good.
Oh, shoot. I should have drafted that guy. Dang it. I mean, if you took any one of those three guys, it's tough right now to be able to say Cooper Kupp feels like he has more money in the bank than these wide receivers are because of the volume that he gets, which is just unreal.
Okay. This is laughable. And it's going to be extremely hard to keep up. But here's Cooper Kupp's 17 game pace.
I'm ready for it.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
204 catches.
Amon Ross St. Brown like.
For 2,006 yards and 25 touchdowns.
Stop it.
I mean, that's going to be impossible to keep up, obviously. But again, the counterpoint all offseason was, hey, Cooper Kupp can never keep it going,
right?
You
saw him last year. I mean, it's not impossible.
He has the most consecutive games now. Actually, on Sunday, he can set the record for most consecutive games with at least 75 receiving yards. It would be 16.
That's insane.
75. In the 15 that he's already accomplished that, he's been over 90.
Wow.
No one's ever done 75 in 16 straight games. He can get to 90 in 16 straight games. He is playing a different brand of football than basically everybody in the league.
He is the most. He has this incredible ability to not only win the possession when he's tightly covered, but to get open, to spin out from coverage. His footwork is ridiculous. And I think it's the precision for everything in addition to his hands. Like, there's just nobody who can match
him. He's like Mike Evans in the red zone and Wes Welker in the slot, right? Like,
a little bit of
just
both.
Crazy, stupid route running. And then in the end zone, Mike Evans, we know, is so good, right? Like, just if it's a 50-50 ball, he makes it look easy.
Same with
Cooper Kupp. His first touchdown catch last week, we were all sitting together, and it was like he didn't break a sweat, and it was an extremely hard touchdown catch that I think we just take that stuff for granted now because he does it so easily.
I think Cooper Kupp is untradeable, and I know it's only like we're heading into week three, but when I look at some of these other fantasy managers.
Unless you offer me Amon-Ra St. Brown, then yes. Well,
is there a single running back that you look at right now in the league where you're like, if someone offered you a running back because they need a wide receiver, like I don't think that...
No.
No, I mean, the only conversation points would be if you could work, you know, if you drafted really well
deal.
And you, no, if you drafted really well at wide receiver beyond that, like, you know, you snagged Gabe Davis and you also snagged whatever, somebody else, like you snagged Gabe Davis and Tyreek Hill or Amon-Ra St. Brown. Exactly. Yeah. Right. And you have a Jonathan Taylor for Cooper Kupp conversation or Christian McCaffrey for Cooper Kupp conversation.
I don't know.
I wouldn't have any interest in it right now.
Because he's putting up the production of two players, quite frankly.
Yeah, he's matchup proof.
This has
been a year and 2 weeks worth. And by the way, you factor in those playoff games, this is now 23 straight games of dominance. He's got 25 touchdowns in his past 23 games.
Yeah.
Stupid.
That's crazy. All right, Justin Jefferson, we already talked about him. Obviously, I understand tough week two, but we think things are going to be a lot better here in week three on a Lions defense. Well, it we don't be. Totally hope. I mean, we sort of hope, but we don't really hope. And then also, who else we got? Tyreek Hill, consecutive games with 8+ catches to start the season.
I just think this is a connection with him and Tua. There is no if it's like, well, this hasn't happened before, and why this is going to keep happening. I think that is real. I think the volume for Tyreek Hill stays very high.
Tough game
offense.
This week against Buffalo, and I think
this is one of the games I'm most looking forward to. By the way, because I want to see how they maneuver around that. Mike McDaniel is a wizard.
Over under 10 rush attempts for the Miami Dolphins this week against the Buffalo Bills.
I'll go under.
I think they throw.
It'll be over, but not by much.
Yeah. All right. Couple late round breakout wide receivers that we love. Rashad Bateman looked fantastic this week. 75-yard touchdown.
I just want a little more volume and a little more route participation for Rashad Bateman. Right. There's a bit of a rotation there. But two big plays. I mean, he's got back-to-back games with a 55+ yard touchdown catch. Can't teach that, right? So we hope that leads to even more opportunities. He's been great, though.
Christian Kirk didn't get the volume that he saw in week one. However, he did find the end zone twice, and I think that I am okay with that, even if he didn't have 12 targets.
One of the best mid-round values right now.
Keep Christian moving on up.
Follow the money.
Curtis Samuel. Here's a guy that came on that you need to be paying attention to. Curtis Samuel, 15 receptions, 20 targets, and 5 rushes through 2 weeks, a touchdown catch in both weeks. I've got Curtis Samuel ranked ahead of Terry McLaurin in my rankings this week.
Not a hot take. I mean, he's been so good, so heavily targeted, and Terry McLaurin gets his, and he's going to get his down the field. But we were talking about, you know, we have to factor in. There needs to be a metric that factors in, like, depth of target and efficiency of target as a result of that, right? And if Curtis Samuel gets 8 targets, the total air yards might be 15. Terry McLaurin, they might be 100, right? And just... whether your quarterback is Carson Wentz, Peyton Manning in his prime, or whoever the worst quarterback to ever play in the NFL is, you can make those throws that are going to Curtis Samuel. And looks explosive, looks healthy, second round pick for a reason. I mean, guy was a highly touted recruit coming out of Poly Prep in Brooklyn back in the day. Like, this kid's the real deal. I'm excited for him.
Yeah, I think the question coming into the season was the health, because last year was such a disaster. And actually, even in training camp, there were still some lingering questions. Right. So this has all been a bit of a surprise.
But the money was real last year, right? Yeah, 3 years, $37.5 million bucks. They forked it over. So I'm really happy for him.
Not all their decisions, you know, bear out.
Yes. They on occasion do whiff. Yeah.
All right, let's talk about some of these rookies really quickly. Drake London, active players with 5 catches for 70 yards in their first 2 games. Stephon Diggs and Drake London. Drake London came into the season, was kind of dealing with some...
Yeah, he got banged up in the first preseason game with a knee issue. We didn't really see him. People were concerned about, well, don't be concerned anymore.
Doesn't look concerning right now. No.
I mean, my biggest takeaway here is that and I know that the Falcons, if Arthur Smith were on the show, he would push back. You're finding ways to get Drake London targets.
I know it's coming.
Do the same thing for Kyle Pitts. Yeah, that's exactly, all I'm saying, right? Is exactly. That like I get it. Kyle Pitts is the superior athlete to basically everybody in the league. But still, it seems like you're finding ways to get Drake London the football. Yes. Do the same thing for Kyle Pitts.
I'll say this. As pet owners, right? Everybody here's a pet owner. It's like Kyle Pitts was the old bone that you brought home for your dog and they were really excited. And then you brought home the new bone. And now the dog doesn't want anything to do with that old bone. It seems like it's seemingly forgotten about.
You know what's weird though, Daniel? Drake London's older than Kyle Pitts.
I don't get it.
Or if he's younger, he's like a month younger. Kyle Pitts came in the league he's last so year young. At 20 years old. He's 21.
Wow.
Yeah, that's don't absurd. Forget about Kyle Pitts. Come on now.
No. All right.
I'm only asking for one thing.
Garrett Wilson, he's already racked up 22 targets in a Joe Flacco-led offense, which sort of sounds like a joke. But at the same time, Joe Flacco is absolutely looking for him.
It's also the eyeball test. Yeah. I mean, he looked fantastic, and he got drilled this week. He landed on his back. We left the game. I thought he might not come back, and he comes back and has another... Didn't he score a touchdown after that, after he came back?
Yeah. The eye test loves Garrett Wilson.
Yep. And John Dotson, too.
Joe Flacco, good for the Jets offense.
Yes.
Like, just go back and look at the numbers. It is good when Joe Flacco's on the field if you were starting a Jets pass catcher or running back. I'm just telling you.
I think it's great.
It is.
His kids.
I'm just laughing about that because I know you're going to bring up his kids who said, Dad, you stink.
Kids are tough critics, though, right?
But then also people who thought that he didn't get fired up, and you saw that video of him going in the locker room. And so I'm happy for Joe Flacco.
We project way too much on stuff that, like, small moments, right? Yeah. Like, Justin Herbert was this introvert who couldn't lead men coming out of college.
Yeah. Yep.
How's that one look 3 years ago?
Pretty silly. All right. Everything is fine so far through 2 weeks. And talking about Joe Flacco, did you know that he is number 3 in the league in passing yards?
Yeah, he is.
Behind Tua and who else?
Yeah. Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz. Tua, Carson Wentz, and Joe Flacco lead the league in passing yards.
This is a good example that we talk often about how, like, real football and fantasy football aren't the same. Mm-hmm. But sometimes the public perception of players in quote-unquote real life influences fantasy too much for the negative. And this is an example with Carson Wentz. Say what you want about Carson Wentz and how he played in Indianapolis. He was quarterback 15 last year. Mm-hmm. And as Kevin Pulsifer reminded me last night, he went off the board at quarterback 29 this preseason. Like, there was a disconnect there. Because I get it. Carson Wentz is easy to pile on for a lot of different reasons.
A lot of reasons. Yep.
But he went way too late, and he saved a lot of people in week 2. As I reminded people, I played him over Tom Brady in multiple leagues. And thank you, Carson.
I feel that way about Tua. You know, when all the talk about him this year was, can Tua throw the deep ball? And I was like, there's a couple things that are happening here. He is finally healthier from that hip issue that I don't think anybody gave him enough credit for coming into the league. He came to the league during COVID. It was a hot mess. He's got Mike McDaniel, who believes in him, and you cannot underestimate the power of a coach who is trying to build an offense and believes in their quarterback. Mm-hmm. All of those things. And Tua has, I mean, we know he has the ability to throw the ball. He's showing you that now. Anybody who thought he couldn't get the ball down the field, go back and watch the tape from this past week.
Really interested to see what Tua looks like in week 3 against the Buffalo Bills, because they're going to have to throw so much. But for Tua, if he can just get the ball in his playmakers' hands, he can let them be able to make some plays, and still going to help Tua out, hopefully. So we'll see how that works out. All right. We're going to have our good friend Eric Moody here join us in a second. But first, Stefania is going to help me pay some bills.
Pay some bills.
That's right.
Fantasy football season is underway, and that means more of what you love. The teams, the rivalries, the stats, trash-talking friends. This season, you know your favorite players are hydrating with Body Armor Sports Drink on and off the field. Your favorite fantasy stars like Kyler Murray, Christian McCaffrey, CeeDee Lamb, they all rely on Body Armor to get them to the next level and perform at their best. And give you the trash-talking points you need. Whatever your workout routine, you're going to need to stay hydrated. And Body Armor has got you covered. Made with potassium-packed electrolytes, antioxidants, no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes, and coconut water. It's a great time to grab some Body Armor sports drink for yourself. Everybody is focused on staying active and healthy, and hydration is an important part of that. Body Armor sports drink. More than a sports drink. Now through November 1st, buy any one Body Armor product at your local convenience store and scan the QR code in store to enter to be one of hundreds of winners to receive $100 in DraftKings prizing. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Open to residents of U.S. 21 and older.
That was a B+, Stefania. You can redo it again for additional credit.
Next time, bigger font on the front.
But football fans, the first Sunday of the NFL season is here and gone. We're on to week three, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is giving customers a can't-miss offer to celebrate the return of the NFL season. Right now, new customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in free bets instantly. And as an added bonus, everyone can experience the thrill of DraftKings' early win promotion. It's simple. Bet on an NFL team to win. If your team leads by 10 at any point during the game, you get paid instantly, even if your team loses. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the promo code FFF to get $200 in free bets instantly when you place a $5 bet this Sunday. That's code FFF only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. 21 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Tennessee, call or text Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789. In New York, call 877-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. Bonus issued as free bets. One early win token issued to opt-in. Moneyline bets only. Deposit wagering restrictions apply. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms.
Show off.
And we are back now. We are going to welcome in our good friend Eric Moody to run us through the waiver wire. Make sure that you are all set for week three. Eric, we're at this spot, and I love this. Every single week, we're going to come in, and you're my hero. You are my superhero. I have people that got hurt in week two. I have guys that underperformed. You are going to help us get set up. So at the quarterback position, if I had Dak Prescott or if I had Trey Lance and I need somebody else, which way are you going here in week three on the wire?
All right, so let's go through the rundown. So let's start off with Mr. Carson Wentz, who I did hear talking about here a moment ago. So I'm like, you look at Wentz. I'm like, he's averaged 23 fantasy points per game so far this season. He's been solid for the Commanders. I'm like, he's got a plethora of playmakers. He's really just got a great supporting cast. You know, he's got Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson, Curtis Samuel in his renaissance season here. Hmm. And then Antonio Gibson and J.D. McKissick. And let's not forget about Logan Thomas as well. And so he is someone who's a high-end QB2 with upside. And I think he works great for managers who are reeling from all the quarterback injuries as part of like a QB by committee approach. Pairing Wentz with another quarterback will kind of take you to the promised land. And so Wentz will definitely have some QB1 weeks. So I'm going to go to a second name, Mr. Jimmy Garoppolo. And so you look at Jimmy Garoppolo, 300 passing yards or multiple pass touchdowns in four of his past starts. I'm like, last year, I'm like, he averaged 16 fantasy points per game. Now, he knows the Kyle Shanahan offense, very familiar with the personnel that the 49ers have. I think a lot of people forget, I'm like, this is a quarterback who took the team to the Super Bowl in last year's NFC Championship game. And so I'll look at Garoppolo, and like the rest of this season, I would say, is an audition for him to figure out, okay, which team am I going to next? He's a QB2 with upside. I'll round it out with two names and pass it back to you, Dot. We got Marcus Mariota and Jared Goff. Let's start off with Mariota. And he's a very good option for managers that are in deeper leagues. Or a super flex or two quarterback leagues. And I know everyone's looking at Jalen Hurts saying, wow, look at what that guy's doing out there. And you know, they're enamored by the Konami Code quarterback. I would say Mariota is the OG of the Konami Code quarterback. You know, he's averaged 16.7 fantasy points per game. I know that you and Field and Stefani were talking about Drake London and what he's done so far this season. So Mariota's got a plethora of playmakers there, a solid QB2. I'll round it off with Jared Goff. So offensive continuity with this coaching staff, upgraded offensive line, additional playmakers. He's averaged 20.7 fantasy points per game this season. Great QB2 with upside. He would even pair nicely with someone like Carson Wentz as a quarterback by committee.
Hey now, I don't hate that. I mean, listen, Carson Wentz has been a top five quarterback each of the last 2 weeks. So I think for him, he seems like the obvious streaming option. If he is available out there, go get him because his skill position players are fantastic. Takes on the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm curious now. I'm back to being curious after 2 weeks of Carson Wentz looking nice going home to Philly. How is that going to be, that return back to Philadelphia? I want to know that. And also, I said to Field on Sunday, I was like, Field, I don't think that Jared Goff is someone that I'm looking at for streamers. And I went through these lists of quarterbacks. Jared Goff has not been awful from that standpoint. This offense has been very good, scored 35-plus points each of the last 2 weeks. I mean, if you're looking at quarterbacks, you definitely have some options here, Eric Moody. All right, running back is a little less exciting. A little bit less exciting for me at running back because the guys that you're looking at here are not nearly the same kind of names that we just talked about because we had a guy that was a top five quarterback in Carson Wentz. So when you're looking at running backs this week, it's pretty thin, but who is it that you have if you need someone here off the wire?
Yeah, no, I agree. It is thin. It's desolate, like an apocalyptic wasteland. So let's start off with Raheem Mostert. Big takeaway here, Dop, is that, you know, he is going to be part of a committee. But it's surprising that he got the workload that he did, because he had more touches and total yards than Edmonds, also played more snaps. But you look at Edmonds, I'm like, he signed the second largest contract among free agent running backs, but it's not surprising to see Mostert do what he did, because he's got a history of Mike McDaniel during his time with the 49ers. And I think he's someone that fantasy managers could look at as a weekly flex option. And I think he'll end up being ultimately a great fill-in once the bye week start to happen. And so we'll kind of continue into the apocalypse here, looking at the Arizona Cardinals. You got Darrell Williams, Eno Benjamin. So James Conner has a history of ankle issues, but I love where the coaches come out. You know what? I think that James Conner is going to be fine. He's someone that I think he'll be available for. That's great on one end. But then you're looking at fantasy managers like, wait, hold on one second. Like, this is a guy that has a history of ankle issues. So when it comes to fantasy, be proactive instead of reactive, because both of these guys, Williams and Benjamin, finished with a similar number of touches. So if Conner misses time, I think that trend will continue. I think it's ideal to roster one of them, especially if you're in deeper format. So to close the loop on running backs, let's talk about my guy, Tyler Allgeier. So we got Damian Williams on IR. We got Cordero Patterson, the wide receiver, offensive playmaker, you know, whatever you want to call him, moonlighting as a running back. I'll just look at it this way. I don't think Cordero Patterson's built for 15 or more touches a week. You look at Allgeier. He was inactive week one, had a solid NFL debut in week two. I think he's a great player to stash right now. He's someone that we're looking at like at week 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, who could be fantasy relevant. To bring all that together, I'm like, this guy was a stud in college. His last two seasons at BYU, he ran for 2,731 yards and 36 touchdowns. Again, this guy, I guess as the young people say, he's just built different. You know, he's a three-down player at the NFL level.
Heck yeah. I mean, when you look at these running backs, you talk about Raheem Mostert, right? Like him a little bit later on, potentially, as what the Dolphins are going to be able to do. Yeah. Tough matchup this week against the Buffalo Bills, someone I would try to not start if I had any option other than Raheem Mostert. But I, to your point, love the option of being able to add him and have him for later. Darrell Williams and Eno Benjamin. I am a little lower on those guys, although you are totally right. James Conner is a guy that gets hurt. It's something that you have to be able to factor in. I don't know as though I love him or either of those guys more than Tyler Allgeier, just because of that potential upside. I'm out on Cordero Patterson. I've talked about this all offseason. And to start the year, week one, he looked awesome because there was nobody else out there. He had no one else in the backfield. He was not splitting time with anybody. And here we are, week two. You talk about how he had the same number of snaps. Same number of snaps as Tyler Allgeier. Same number of carries in week two as Tyler Allgeier. So someone that carries, I like as well from that standpoint. All right, let's look at wide receivers. Wide receivers are plentiful in this league, Eric Moody. However, if you happen to be in a spot where you are thin at wide receiver, where you need something else, who is it that you're targeting this week?
All right, first name, we've got Nelson Aguilar. Caught all six of his targets for 110 yards and a touchdown at Pittsburgh. He's got the improved rapport with quarterback Mac Jones. I know this was something that I mentioned in the Daily Notes column that's published at ESPN every weekday about during the summer, about the rapport that these two have during training camp, much improved from last year. And so, like in week three, you know, looking ahead, I'm like, Aguilar has an excellent matchup against the Ravens secondary that was annihilated by Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. So a great option in deeper formats, especially if you're reeling from Mike Evans' suspension and his poor decision-making. So moving on. We look at Sterling Shepard, who I can't believe I'm talking about Sterling Shepard here. I feel like Robin Williams and Jumanji from back in the mid-90s saying, like, what year is it? Why am I talking about Sterling Shepard here? And, you know, the Giants are desperately looking for a wide receiver to step up as their number one guy. Shepard had the most targets against the Panthers on Sunday, second in snaps amongst Giant receivers. Giants host the Cowboys week three. You look at what Shepard's been able to do against the Cowboys in his career. Like, he's averaged 6.2 targets and 11 fantasy points per game against Dallas. He's a great option for fantasy managers in deeper formats. We got Michael Gallup. I know he's nearing a return. It's like the Cowboys receivers are atrocious. You know, CeeDee Lamb is disappointing people. You got Noah Brown, who's stepping up, which I'll talk about him in a moment. But what makes Gallup intriguing is that, just given the Dalton Schultz injury, again, you've got coaches saying, oh yeah, PCL, you know, I think he'll be fine. Just let him rest. Gallup can come back, should be healthy. I think he'll end up being on a snap count. But he's someone to stash, could be a difference maker for your team later on. But let's talk about Noah Brown. I want to save the rest of the time on wide receiver for Noah Brown here. His rapport with Cooper Rush was on full display against the Bengals. And I think fantasy managers need to know, like, this is a duo that signed onto the Cowboys roster back in 2017. 14 targets, 159 receiving yards, and a touchdown through two games. I'm like, no one thought that we'd be talking about Noah Brown right now, not like CeeDee Lamb. So you look at Brown and you look at Rush, I'm like, this is a duo. Let me think of a nice line here. I think this is a duo that could feast like an offensive lineman at a buffet in week three against the Giants secondary. And so you've got Greg Dortch, Cardinals. He's been their most consistent offensive contributor so far. I like him quite a bit, especially if Rondale Moore is still out. We got Nook Hopkins that's out with a hamstring injury. And so you look at through two games for Dortch, I'm like, he's averaged 6.5 targets and 14.4 fantasy points. So I like him as well. So I guess that's all I have to say, Dop, about wide receivers.
Yeah, a handful of names there. I like Michael Gallup. If you can grab him and throw him on your IR spot until he comes back, I think he's still the highest rated for me. Do you have Devin Duvernay, do you have Nelson Aguilar listed where he is at because of the fact that, I mean, you saw that long touchdown. We haven't really seen it from Nelson Aguilar a whole lot in the past. Would he be your number one wide receiver on the waiver wire this week, or do you like somebody else more than him?
Yeah, it's close for me personally between Aguilar and with Noah Brown, just with that rapport he has with Rush. So I think if you need someone like right now for this week, again, if you're reeling from Mike Evans' poor decision-making, I would actually lean towards someone like Noah Brown. But you're looking at Aguilar for whenever the bye weeks start to creep in, I think he's someone that can be a solid flex option for fantasy managers out
there. Gotcha. All right, so for week three, look at Noah Brown. Maybe a little bit later on in the season, Nelson Aguilar. Let's look at tight end really quickly. And I hate starting it here, but Logan Thomas has looked great. He looked really good against my Detroit Lions again here in week two. Week three, it looks like there could be some more of the same.
Yeah, I'll talk about these two players I want to name briefly. So you mentioned Logan Thomas. I think he's really thriving with all the playmakers that Washington has, you know, underneath, because those players, you know, that I mentioned when I was talking about Carson Wentz warrant a lot of defensive attention. So if you need an upgrade at tight end, look at Logan Thomas. But I've liked what I've seen from Evan Ingram, who's another option fantasy managers, you know, should consider. Like, he's someone that was targeted on 33.3% of routes last week. He's a great streamer, you know, 12 targets over the first 2 weeks. Seems like he's got pretty good rapport with Trevor Lawrence, and so he's someone that I wouldn't overlook, and he's, again, another tight end that would pair well if you're taking a tight end by committee approach playing the matchups.
Yeah, right now this week, if you're looking at either of these tight ends, you've got Logan Thomas taking on Philly. Obviously, we talked about Carson Wentz and that revenge narrative from there, and then Evan Ingram taking on the Los Angeles Chargers. I mean, that should be a high-scoring game. The Jaguars are going to have to throw. If you need a tight end, you could certainly do worse than a guy who has been getting targets from Trevor Lawrence. All right, Eric Moody, thank you so much for all of this. We will see you back next week for the week four waiver wire. Follow him at Eric N. Moody for everything that you need and for the daily notes. Eric, great job on those guys too.
Mm-hmm. All right, until next time.
Until next time, that is right. Eric Mooney, good job by you. Good job by Daniel holding down the fort right there, which brings us to our Little Caesars Pizza Preview.
Oh,
it's time for Little Caesars Pizza Preview. Little Caesars Preview presented by Little Caesars. I am hungry right now.
Me too.
When you're, I think I've said this before, but when you become a parent, you eat lunch at like 10:30.
Yep.
It's 11:01 right now, and I'm starving.
I heard your stomach growling while I was doing the Eric Moody
I thought
interview.
You didn't hear that. I apologize.
Get yourself some pizza.
All right. Let's talk about a couple of things here. Thursday night football preview. The Browns play against the Pittsburgh Steelers. There's a lot of different directions to go here, but what I'm keeping my eye on, what I am interested in, excuse me, is last week we saw Amari Cooper looked like Amari Cooper, right? He had over 100 yards. He found the end zone as well. The Cowboys, right there, that was muscle memory. The Browns did a good job of getting him involved after saying during the week they wanted to get him more involved. The Steelers did allow a big play, as we just heard from Eric Moody, to Nelson Aguilar against the Patriots this past week. Could Amari Cooper follow that same route and possibly have a big play on Thursday night? On Sunday, is it possible that the Lions and Vikings is the most exciting fantasy football game of the weekend? Think about all the players in that game that you consider close to a lineup lock. DeAndre Swift, obviously, yep. Amon-Ra St. Brown, TJ Hawkinson for the Lions. Yep. There's at least a case for Jared Goff as a streaming quarterback option. You go to the Vikings, Justin Jefferson, maybe Irv Smith all of a sudden on that tight end radar. Kirk Cousins could be a reasonable play this week.
What about Dalvin Cook?
Dalvin Cook should be in your lineups this week and many weeks. Adam Thielen, who was fine last night. Not great, but fine. There's so much fantasy goodness potentially on hand there. The game's in a dome as well. Don't have to worry about weather when these two teams face off in the great Midwest. And then finally, Sunday afternoon, we've got Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills against Tua Tagovailoa and the Miami Dolphins. I'm not concerned about Josh Allen. He's my quarterback one for this week. Believe it or not, I went on a limb there. I am so excited to watch the Dolphins, though, face off against this really, really, really good Bills defense, which has just been pummeling opposing offenses. so far, kind of a barometer, a measuring stick, a litmus test, if you will, for this Dolphins offense, right? They played a good defense in week one, and they were okay against the Patriots. They played a not-so-good defense in week two, and they lit up the Baltimore Ravens. How do they face off? How do they square off when they play against an elite offense, elite defense? Well, both for Buffalo.
Yeah,
elite offense and defense this week. I have Tyreek Hill way up my wide receiver board. Jalen Waddle way up my wide receiver board. Tua does not crack my top 10 for quarterbacks, but if he has a QB1 performance, a top 10 performance, we're all going to be sitting here talking about how Tua needs to be rostered in many leagues and should be close to a lineup lock. If he can do it against Buffalo,
yep,
that makes you feel really, really good.
Really good. I'm loved. I cannot wait to
see
you.
I'm so happy for Tua. I'm just like,
yeah, it'd be fun to watch.
It's going
to
be
so
really
excited.
Good.
I said before the season, Miami was going to be one of the most intriguing teams to watch this year. And
so far,
that's bearing out.
Yep. All right. We got 2 weeks in the books. Cannot wait for week three the rest of this week. We got practice reports. We got everything that you guys need in order to be ready
tomorrow
for your next lineup. Yeah, we got all three of us with Liz Loza joining us tomorrow. Going to be a ton of fun. We'll go through rankings, all the rest of the NFL news that you need. We'll see you guys then.
If you need a stick of Tide, Field is your guy. If you're in Bristol or in Farmington, you should find another ride. Candidly, he hates Mike Clay. And you know that it's a fact, every Yater's gonna Yate. 'Cause he's on TV every day. A spicy tomato who's got the stats and tweets that'll make you laugh. He's our favorite host and everybody knows his name. He's Field.